CV.
The following program has been furnished and paid by Nathan P. Rawls, CPA. And KSEV is not responsible for its content or the products or services offered.
Welcome to the Be a Planner Show with Nathan Ross, CPA, a show that helps you learn how planners can generate significantly more wealth now. Nathan will answer your questions about business or personal finance, or how to increase current cash flows and generate retirement savings to make sure you're on the right path, and so much more. Whatever your financial goal, Nathan can get you there faster. And now, here's your host, Nathan Ross.
Welcome to this week's Be a Planner Show with Nathan Ross, CPA. It's Friday. It's the Friday edition of the show. It's not the last one we'll do this year. We've got another show on Sunday that'll actually be the final one. And assuming I do that live, we'll hit right on the last day of the year. Otherwise, we'll do a record if it otherwise works out that way. I'm doing a little bit of traveling, and so if I don't get back to a studio in time, I'll need to punt. But anyway, as you know from listening to the show before, if you listen to the show before, we're going to remind you that before you run out and try some new strategy you might hear today, or you know, engage in a investment opportunity that we might tangentially discuss, please go check with your current advisors, be it tax, legal, real estate, etc., and make sure that what you heard is relevant for your facts and circumstances, and that you heard it correct. And in any event, if you don't have any such advisors or would feel more comfortable talking with some new ones, you're happy to go to our website at baplanner.com. And if you'll look at the top right link on our website, you'll see second from the right is the forms link. And then right next to it is a schedule a call link. And if you'll fill out at least step one of the forms on the forms page, that'll give us enough information to where we can talk with you about your precise facts and circumstances and tell you if we see an ability to sync up with what your goals and objectives are. And, you know, it's it's interesting times right now. In the in the world for sure, but also down into our little chasm of most of our clients are engaged in real estate private partnerships, primarily in the multifamily market, and there are some tumultuous times going on in that market. It's not to say that you can't make money. A lot of people are making money, and there's, of course, a lot of distress as well, because you've got a confluence of factors going on. And, you know, I see article after article that's reminding us, they're kind of all saying the same thing, just a different way of saying it, that as a syndicator or a lead partner, sponsor, et cetera, even if you can navigate the refinance that you're likely staring in the face of, you know, 2024, we'll see a lot of the three-year bridge debt structures that came out back when, two or three years ago. There's a lot of deals that are going to be banging on the lender's doors, and unless they've got a story to tell, they executed their business plan, they've got their rehab's done, they've been able to get rates up to market, and market back when they were showing their projections is a lot different than market today in many sections of the country. And you know, it's going to be difficult, to say the least, for a lot of those deals to find a home. And so even if as the syndicator you can navigate that issue, you've got your business plan has been executed well, you've got your rents up, then you run into a lender, and it's most of them are going to want higher reserves to be placed for them to be able to make sure you're going to make your payments. And then they're going to offer you a loan to value of anywhere from 50 to maybe 60% if you're lucky. That would be a really stable operator that would get that level of loan to value. And, you know, if you back up just even a year and a half, 2 years ago, 70 to 75 was common. 80 would have been outstanding, and they were happening, but, you know, the noose was starting to tighten a couple years ago. But so then if you navigate that successfully, then you've got operating expenses that are coming hard at you. You've got insurance premiums that have likely tripled in the last year and a half to 2 years and still going up. And then you've got property taxes that are going up. And, you know, it's crazy. And then to top that off, assuming you've got the reserves to handle that, now in many markets, you've got a significant number of new units showing up. And the absorption in some markets has also declined a bit, and less than you might think, but nonetheless, you know, you've got, you know, if you're a successful syndicator and, you know, you're in a market where there's 20,000 new units coming online, don't think that's not going to put some stress on your rental rates. And I was reading another article just here recently, this last couple of days, in fact, about how some management companies apparently are offering that they're betting, they're rolling the dice on renewals. So they're trying to renew existing tenants at rates that are higher than what they'll offer somebody walking up. And I mean significantly higher. And then, of course, once the renewal prospect figures out what's going on, then they offer them a deal that's only slightly, well, it's kind of in the middle between what a new person walking up might get and what they are currently at. And it's like, you know, the leasing folks are, you know, not paying attention to the fact that their overall revenue is going down as a result of losing the prospect, the renewal prospect. Forget about the new one. And so it's a little bit confusing. I probably didn't explain it all that well. It's just the bottom line is they're not treating the current dance partner, let's say, very nice compared to the new shiny object walking in the door. They're giving them a much better deal to capture that revenue, thinking they've already got the existing tenant in the bag, and apparently that's not at all the case. And there were some details in that article. I believe that was a Globe Street article that I saw, but if I can find that while we're talking about some other topics, I'll be happy to do that. Let's see. I had an article on some moves to make to lower your tax. Okay, you know, we see these from time to time. This is a Wall Street Journal article, and you know, I'm not sure. Yeah, it seems like there's always some decent measures to take, and then there's some that I don't know why some of the authors opine. It's almost like they've never had some of these facts and circumstances to where they really think through what they're talking about. But it is true that in general, you know, there's some things you can do, but I would tell you this kind of misses the focus on what some of the really important topics are, like, for instance, Roth conversions. That's the thing. When you look at not just 2024, how about let's look at the rest of your life? What's the single biggest thing you might be able to do that would dramatically change your life going forward? And I can promise you, it's not, you know, paying next year's IRA contribution or trying to, you know, massage your AGI so that you can get the medical expense or some other of your itemized deductions. And, you know, I look at the dollars that we've been able to position in future years tax-free income, and I mean, it's in the hundreds of thousands of dollars. It's not just a few dollars. And of course, you know, the tax rates are going to change. I've explained every week, week in, week out, the tax train is coming. It's not Democrat. It's not Republican. Neither party has a solution. The solutions they talk about and try to act like they're intelligent won't move the needle. You can cut foreign aid like the Republicans would like to do, cut the spending, and you can raise the taxes on the wealthy like the Democrats always say. That doesn't do anything in terms of the size of the deficits that we're dealing with now. Just the interest this year will be $1 trillion. Just the interest. First time that we will cross that threshold. And I don't know if we'll have time to go check the U.S. debt clock site again. It's always interesting week to week or every other week to take a look and see how many more trillion dollars that, well, billions on a weekly basis, but certainly doesn't take long to get to an extra trillion. But in any event, when you look at someone that's in their 50s or even 60s, that has pre-tax retirement funds, be it 401 or IRA, and you look at you know, how much they think they have in those accounts, and then you have a discussion with them about, well, you still got to pay the tax man, correct, when you start taking your required minimum distributions or otherwise make distributions, and what's that going to look like? And that's when it kind of hits them, oh. And then it hits them even harder when they think about, well, what might the rate be 10, 15 years from now? If the Congressional Budget Office back in 2009 suggested that a 150% increase in the tax rates, that's back 14 years ago, almost 15 years ago now, they suggested that the only way to solve the deficit was to raise each of the three brackets. Back then, you had a 10, 25, and 39% bracket. They suggested the 10 needed to go to 25, the 25 needed to go to 63, and the 39 needed to go to 88%. That was in 2009. Our deficit at that point, the one we copped to, not the true deficit that has all the unfunded liabilities in it, that is even worse, but the one that we admit to back then was a mere $9 to $10 trillion, not the 34 we have now. And the debt to GDP ratio was somewhere, maybe, I'm guessing on this, it was probably in the 35 to 40% range back then, and it was far from where we're at today. And in fact, that same report they delivered to Congress, and by the way, it started off with Dear Mr. Ryan, because that's back when Paul Ryan was the speaker. Been a long time ago, huh? Hadn't heard that name in a while. But in any event, they suggested that the debt to GDP would not cross the 100% threshold until the year 2040 to 42. You know what it was, or what it is now? It's like 135, 140% by some estimates of GDP already. What are we, still almost 20 years away from 2000? I guess we're, what, 18 or 17 years away? That's crazy. But in any event, Let's do this. It's time to take our first break. Let's go ahead and do so, and we'll come back momentarily with more of this week's Be a Planner show with Nathan Ross, CPA.
Hey, if you'd like to contact Nathan for questions during the show today or during the week, you can text him at 713-581-0195, 713-581-0195, or you can send an email to Nathan at npross.com, Nathan at npross.com.
Did you know 76% of Americans are concerned they won't have a secure retirement? BeAPlanner.com shows how private real estate partnerships can increase current cash flow and retirement savings. There are three options to control your 401 and IRAs, but only one will double your retirement lifestyle. BeAPlanner.com for the Be a Planner show with CPA Nathan Ross.
Is it easy? No, it ain't. Can I fix it? No, I can't. Well, I sure ain't gonna take it lying down. Will I make it? Maybe so. Will I give up? Oh, no. I'll be fighting till I'm 6 feet underground. I'm gonna woman up and take it like a man. I'm gonna buckle up, be tough enough.
Okay, welcome back to more of this week's Be a Planner show with Nathan Ross, CPA. And I just pulled up the U.S. Debt Clock site, and we are about a week away from hitting the magical $34 trillion mark. We're at 956. We're clocking somewhere, I think it's around $8 billion a day in additional increase to that total. And if you look at that site, boy, it's chock full of information, but I like to zero in on several numbers that really, you know, it'll depress you, number one, I guess, depress, not impress, or maybe it'll impress upon you the importance of doing what I'm doing and a lot of our clients are doing, which is getting my retirement funds over to the Roth side of the house, so to speak, especially if you've got a 401 trust, a self-directed 401 trust, where you've got both a pre-tax component and a Roth 401 component. But that almost $34 trillion breaks down to $101,000. We just went over the 100,000 mark here, what, 3 weeks ago, I think I announced, when we were, again, looking at the usdebtclock.org site. And so it's $101,000 per U.S. citizen. That's every man, woman, and child. And it's 259,950, almost 260 grand debt per taxpayer. That's every one of us taxpayers. Theoretically, that's our share. So that ought to make for a happy new year, huh? Bringing that in. And it's just, it's insanity. It's like, what are the congressmen thinking? And, you know, they're worried about everything but the debt mess that we're in. And there's a video I posted out on our resource site. It's the companion site, rather, for Be A Planner. It's the BeAPlannerShow.com. And if you'll go to the resource link, look under the resources there for videos. And I've only got a couple out there. I'm behind on adding some. But you'll see Representative, I believe it's David Swikert is his name. And he's got some marvelous charts in his 30-minute talk that he gives to an empty house. It's during the end of the day, late at night, when they've got the ability as congressmen to opine on all things important in their world. And he's really got a succinct 30-minute great education and illustration of the relevant factors that have us in such a mess. And he talks about, for instance, the Medicare, Medicaid chunk of the budget, how much is Social Security, and, you know, how much taxes we collect. And, you know, it's amazing. The biggest chunk of the U.S. annual budget is Medicare. It's almost $1.5 trillion, Medicare and Medicaid. Social Security is almost $1.4 trillion. Defense is about $834 billion. And then interest on the debt is well on its way to being over $1 trillion for the fiscal year. It's $704 now. And, of course, you know, at the rate that Treasury bonds are effectively being replaced, we're replacing a lot of the low-rate bonds of yesteryear with higher rates. And so that's why we've shot up from roughly $700 billion, I guess, last year to it'll be right at $1 trillion in the current year. But in any event, if you haven't seen that real-time, it's like a pinball machine, real-time debt clock, take a look at that, usdebtclock.org, and then you can look at several of the other nations. It's got a link at the top. The very top left is the state debt clocks, individual states. Then it's got the world debt clocks, where it's got the most of the developed, the larger economies. They're, most of them are in just as bad a shape as we are. And then it's got a time machine link where you can go back, I believe, to as far as 1980, or you can go forward to 2027 to see when the train wreck starts if we don't do something now. And of course, we're really a little late already, because we're getting down to the last portion of the discretionary part of the budget, which will be gone by 2028, 2029, 30, somewhere in there. We won't even be able to cover the interest on the debt. So again, for those of you I started to mention earlier, the Roth conversion, single best way for you to confront this issue of tax rates needing to go up is to think about converting to Roth, especially the closer you are to your retirement years. Now, you know, there's not a whole lot we can do with your W-2 or your trader business income as those rates and brackets have to change. But we can sure draw a line in the sand and tell the government, hey, here's what you're getting, and you go ahead and pay the conversion tax. And it could not be done at a better time than after. For those of you that are still considering investing in real estate private partnerships with your retirement funds, with your 401 money and your IRA money. And I know a lot of you are going to say, well, wait a minute. I didn't know I could invest my 401 plan in private companies. And the answer is, well, you probably can't invest the one that you participate in at the office. But if you qualify to roll those funds over to the self-directed model, well, then you absolutely control your money. You can invest it in real estate, and you can do whatever makes you happy every day after you start seeing the fruit of the real estate private partnership area. And I'll admit the fruit is not quite as voluminous in the current time frame as it has been. It'll be back. You want to pay attention, keep your powder dry, get situated, keep your funds at the ready. And when all the devastation starts, you know, sometime in 2024 continues, it's actually going to be worse. Be ready, because there's a lot of people that know what they're doing that are licking their chops and just waiting for the devastation to get started. It's kind of already started, but you know, there's a lot of good poker players thus far that are trying to act like they're not in trouble, but some have embraced it. They're trying to raise money to head off the foreclosures that will happen, but there's going to be quite a bit of that going on. Let's see here. I had several other articles. I'll tell you, I'm getting tired of reading about where the Fed's going. Is it going to be a soft landing or a plane crash? What's it going to be? And, you know, I don't think, you know, I think it depends on whose agenda is dictating the article. I mean, there's a lot of people that think if they keep saying the rates are coming down, well, then by God, the Fed will start cutting rates right away. There's others that say, you know, there's still plenty of the Fed governors that are saying, no, we're not ready to start cutting. We may agree to pause. You know, various economists at assorted research think tanks are saying that, you know, the Fed is done with rate rises or raising the rates, but they also don't expect an imminent reduction in rates either. So that's saying the same thing. They're pausing. And I don't know. I mean, it's hard to believe Jerome Powell is going to do anything that actually helps stimulate the economy. I don't know. I think the Fed would do better at times just to get out of the way and let the markets take care of this. But you know, you know, when you look at the impact of the, it's not just the interest rate that is impacted, the mortgage rates rather, by the Fed funds changes, the cap rates, which dictates in effect what we can borrow, what percentage of the value of the property we can borrow or what we can sell it for, is mightily affected. And you know, all these connective parts don't necessarily move at the same time. So you know, it's going to be an interesting transition if it is coming down, the interest rate or the Fed funds rate, how that reverberates through the market and how it affects cap rates and loan to values and mortgage reserves, all these other connective tissues. Not to mention, how about inflation? You know, we haven't even mentioned inflation. And that's probably, when you look at what the Fed is looking at, the inflation dynamics will probably be one of the biggest biggest factors that they're considering. Remember, that's what started all this stuff, right? All the rates going up, they were trying to juggle the employment figures, the consumer spending patterns, business investment. You can just go down the list of the things that they're trying to not let one, you know, outstrip the other. And, you know, the job market has not fallen anywhere near as much as they thought it would. It's shown some weakness. But, you know, if there's a robust labor market recovery, as this article that was, let's see, was this in, this was in on Globe Street. You know, they're saying a robust labor market recovery coupled with sustained consumer and business confidence might prompt a quicker normalization of interest rates. Well, that's a bunch of gobbledygook for saying we don't know. And that's exactly how you should take it. Nobody knows. And, you know, the common sense went out the window a long time ago when you're dealing with the Fed, I would say, and with any governmental, quasi-governmental agency. I know they're not, but they might as well be at times. And then you throw in to, you know, the wild cards that I haven't mentioned are the geopolitical tensions, the war, natural disasters, things of that nature that you really cannot predict, as the article says, that will potentially dictate interest rate movements. And, you know, it's and then others, as the article goes on, says that some have thrown cold water on the idea that inflation and therefore rate rises are moving into the rearview mirror. In an interview with the Financial Times, former Treasury Secretary Larry Summers said, "I think it's premature to judge that we have landed softly, because if you look at underlying inflation rates, depending on upon your measures, some of them are still running well above 2%. That's a good point. I don't remember all the different vantage points, but I know there are some measures that clearly don't make it look like we've solved inflation. And as he says, it doesn't. It isn't clear if the landing's been soft in the sense that there are still a variety of problems, declining flows of credit, inverted yield curves, aspects of consumer behavior, rising evidence of credit strains that, you know, raise the possibility that the landing won't be soft if there is one. So he wraps those comments up by saying, at this point, we may soft land on the aircraft carrier, but the landing may be hard, and we may overfly. So that's a pretty good perspective for someone that, even though Mr. Summers has liberal tendencies at times, I think he's on the right side of the Harvard argument, though. I believe he was former president of Harvard, either after or before he was Treasury Secretary, and pretty knowledgeable guy to be commenting about the current scenario. Well, I tell you what, we're sitting right on the second break. Let's go ahead and take our last break, and we'll come back with more of this week's Be a Planner Show with Nathan Ross, CPA.
People always coming up to me and asking, what's your secret? With all you do, your attitude just seems to be so good. How do you keep it? Well, I'm not the Dalai Lama, but I'll try to offer up a few words of advice. You better get to living, giving. Don't forget to throw in a little forgiving and love along the way. You better get to knowing, showing a little bit more concern about where you're going. There's a word out to the wise. You better get to living.
K
Hey, if you'd like to contact Nathan for questions during the show today or during the week, you can text him at 713-581-0195. 713-581-0195. Or you can send an email to Nathan at nprawls.com. Nathan at nprawls.com.
BeAPlanner.com wants to ask you, when's the last time your tax pro called with a way to save you taxes? Seriously, do you want to work with a planner or a reporter? A planner knows which tax code sections are the best wealth accumulation tools. Less tax, more profit. Learn more at BeAPlanner.com. The Be A Planner Show with Nathan Ross.
Like the song, Bobby McGee. I'm just longing to be free. Take me where I want to be. Big dreams and vague dreams. And there are many just like me.
With big dreams and faded cheeks.
Okay, welcome back to the final segment of this week's Be A Planner Show with Nathan Ross, CPA. And I wanted to continue to talk about the real estate private partnership market. And I want to encourage you, if you're still on the fence about investing in some of those transactions, I'm not suggesting you run out and jump in to any specific deal. That said, I'm seeing some start to cycle back that are using more rational projections on things like cap rates, etc., which for the longest, in spite of the headwinds, we were still seeing syndicators put deals into the marketplace trying to raise money based on a cap rate. Let's say they're buying it currently for 5.5%, saying that they were going to hold it for 5 years and sell it at those cap rates, same cap rates. And I don't think that's realistic. I'm not saying it couldn't happen. I would just tell you, I think with the things that would have to converge, I would be reticent to put any stock. And I would tell you, if you're looking at a transaction right now, you need to be looking at something that projects a 6.5% exit cap rate. And I know a lot of our listeners probably don't understand. It sounds like Greek what we're talking about. And that's part and parcel why you might want to consider working with somebody like us, which, you know, this is what we do. We analyze the math involved in the document stack that you're going to be provided before you invest in anything. And it's a fairly complicated set of 200 to 300 pages, maybe more. And unless you understand what's being said, you know, most lay people don't in these documents, you may end up with some bad surprises. And, you know, what we strive to do, we don't sell investments, we don't recommend investments, we help you understand what you're signing up for. So we like the concept of you joining perhaps a mentor platform. You don't have to. There's plenty of sources to get syndications these days. It's just like I think of the real estate mentor and investor platforms as being kind of like the travel agent of yesteryear. How many of us still purchase our plane tickets from a travel agent? No, we don't. We find information online. I personally use Google Flights. If you're not using Google Flights, You're still taking an SAT, perhaps, every time you sit down to find a flight. I'm taking a pop quiz. It is an unbelievable resource, free, and you don't pay Google for the flight. They send you through. Once you find your itinerary, you click any one of the airlines that are flying on that itinerary, and you can buy it from any of them, and it takes you right to that set of flights on their website. It's a remarkable tool. So anyway, in the same sense, we can do searches online for syndicated real estate multifamily investments. You'll be blown away by the number of syndicators that will work directly with you, as opposed to perhaps a exclusive scenario like some of the platforms represent. And I'm not saying one is better or worse. They're different. Each of them have their strengths. Each of them have their weaknesses. And if you would like to have that conversation, feel free to go to our website again at beaplanner.com. It's BEAPLANNER. Top right, click the forms link, fill out at least the first one, if not all of them, and then schedule your call. Be happy to talk with you about the merits, pros and cons of assorted platforms. I've been a member of several. Certainly the biggest one in the U.S., which is based in Houston. I was the very first vendor in that vendor program, not to mention a member in the preferred group. And I have, you know, I don't, you know, say bad things about them. I tell you the truth. And if you don't like the truth, that's okay. We all have strengths and weaknesses. And I try to make sure that you're hearing it from an accountant instead of a good salesman. And they've got a lot of good salesmen. But in any event, you don't need to join a platform. And yet there are reasons to do so. And we can discuss that if you care to. In any event, let's see here. I had one more point I wanted to make on this article, but I think in interest of time, I'm going to pass on that. I'm going to talk, we've talked earlier in the show about the concept of joining some real estate private partnerships. One great reason I'm marrying the part of the agenda today, that we would prefer to join real estate private partnerships after you've undertaken a rollover of your funds over to some pre-tax accounts, or from some pre-tax accounts, I'm sorry, to a self-directed pre-tax account. So you start off with a corporate big company 401 plan. If you live in the great state of Texas and you're married, you don't have to quit your job and you don't have to get old like me. I'm over the 59 and a half mark. You may not be, and there's no requirement to do that. I can show you how we can work with you. We can help you access those funds. You don't need your employer's permission. You'll need a judge's permission, but we know how to do it routinely. And then you can control that money, which is critical to you achieving above average rates of return with these types of investments. You cannot invest in these investments when your money's sitting at Charles Schwab or UBS or Fidelity. We got to get them to a 401 self-directed trust that you are the trustee of, that you control who, when, where, and how much to invest with. And by the way, for the experts with some of the other platforms I mentioned that like to opine about how your 401 doesn't pay you, you pay it, that's old school. That's more of that travel agent talk, right? And, you know, I'm oft reminded of the famous Houston oil well firefighter, Red Adair, that used to say, if you think the pros are expensive, just try the amateurs. And that is some amateur tax advice that will wipe out 30 to 40% of your family's net worth. And that's where almost all Americans' families' wealth is in their 401s. And when they tell you that you should cash that out, it's like, take control of that back from the man. No, we want to use the man's rules that allow you to pay even less tax than you would if you put it to the man and still control your money. And for whatever reason, they seem to have not gotten the memo, and they don't understand that you don't have to do that. And you can double, literally double your retirement wealth over the rest of your life by not giving 30 to 40% of it to the IRS here on day one as you get started. Last I checked, the IRS still doesn't pay a very good rate when you invest with their program, correct? I still believe it's nada, in fact. So I want you to understand you've got options, and I'll tell you that most of our clients are members of these platforms. So don't act like, or don't say, well, you know, I've already paid them a bunch of money. Well, you're getting ready to pay a lot more if you turn left instead of turning right at this juncture, if you haven't pulled the trigger yet, or if you haven't pulled it, if it hadn't been more than 60 days. If it has, we can still turn the wagon around. But in any event, we want to get the funds in your control, still on a pre-tax basis, then see you find transactions. We help you understand what you're signing up for, and you invest in them. And then we pull the trigger on a Roth conversion, where now we're valuing private company investments for that tax calculation instead of market tradable securities. Big difference in terms of the valuations. And so if you got questions about that, go to beaplanner.com. Fill out the form, first one at least, and then schedule a call, and we'll be happy to learn more about your unique facts and circumstances. One area that we're going to spend a lot more time on in 2024 that's coming up is discussing the small apartment market. And by that, I'm referring to I'm going to suggest anything from 8 units up to 100 would be deemed small. Frankly, as an owner of an 8-unit apartment building, I would tell you the only thing wrong with it is it's not 40 units or 80 units. So I've kind of, you know, I've gotten to the point where I realize it's just as much work, literally, to take on a bit bigger property than it is to deal with 8 units. That said, at the time, it fit my resource, my resources that I had, and we've learned some things. We've also explored some different business models that it would have been harder to do had we been doing it with a larger property. But in any event, I was just looking at a deal we had put in front of us by a client that's 105 units, rational price at just over $100,000 a door, which, you know, for a property, trying to think when this property was built, it's not a new one by any stretch, but let me see, is that here handy? I believe it was in the early 80s, maybe, which would be about right for that price point. But I don't have that handy. Anyway, rehab budget is $800,000, which is only about $8,000 a door. It's a relatively small equity raise of just under $5 million. And so if you look at a $5 million equity raise on an all-in price of just over 11. What is that? That's about a 60%. It's about, I guess the debt is about 50%. So it's normal. Let's see, let me just run through some of the highlights. The interiors have already been upgraded. The current owner has done that. Some of the units are up to a market rent, or it's getting closer to that. And let me get down to let's see if we got a financial section, see what our equity multiple looks like. Let's see here. I may run out of time. This was a 1972 build, by the way. I did just go past that. And some one bedrooms, two bedrooms, and three bedrooms. So it's a good mix. And let's see. Disposition outlook. So the estimated cap rate going out 5 years gets up to about 6.35. That's, you know, I think it's a little bit optimistic, but you know, it's higher than what we're seeing on many transactions. So I'd say this syndicator has I think a good sense of what's going on. Perhaps in the market, they're showing a 64% gain out in the fifth year. I guess if they refinance it, it could be higher, could go up to mid-80s. So, you know, this is, I would say, a lot more logical than some of the deals we're seeing, the bigger deals, and the reason we're pivoting to small apartments, well, we're not pivoting, we're enhancing our content, is because the small apartment deals can be undertaken with less dilution. Now, that's not necessarily the case on this transaction, but I'll tell you, you can go buy an 8-unit, and you can keep all the assorted fees. You still might opt to hire a property manager. In fact, you know, I'd suggest you do that, but you won't have to pay out the huge, you know, the promote that a lead partner would take. You know, this deal's 20%. You've also got, 5% collectively asset management, property management, which is pretty standard in the industry. But bottom line is, you look at some of the larger transaction, and your money's being diluted 50%. I mean, it's crazy what the syndicators have gotten away with. And now, with some deals going under and foreclosures occurring, haven't seen any of those syndicators talking about giving back the $1 or $2 million fees and some of the distributions they've gotten with the 30 to 40% promotes they've been taking. So those are the things that if you do work with us, we will point out, and you'll only proceed with those transactions once you understand that that's what you're up against. And we would suggest that at some point you talk to the syndicator and work out a better scenario. But in any event, this particular deal is going to be passing out distributions, it looks like, later in 2024. That's a good thing. I mean, they've obviously projected and raised capital accordingly. Okay, we're at the end of the show. I am signing off for I guess Sunday will be the last time for the year. Hope you can join us on Sunday, 7 a.m. right here on KSEV AM 700. Thank you.
Thanks for listening, and join us again next week for another edition of Be a Planner Show with Nathan Ross, CPA.